Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name, as you may or may not be aware, is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining us. Episode number 471. Very, very excited for you to be listening while you're mowing your lawn or on a jog or at the gym. I listen to podcasts at the gym, and often I find myself listening to Tim Dillon or somebody that I find funny, and I'll just be fucking laughing my ass off, and I'm like, oh my god, these people must think I am psychotic, and I am a little bit, but we appreciate you listening wherever you are. If you're driving a tractor or a riding mower or an ATV or walking your dog, whatever, we love you. We love that you listen. If you are not already, please consider subscribing. I dropped a new episode of Bonus Bri this week. I may just give that away as a teaser to people that are kind of on the borderline of whether or not they want to subscribe. So that might go out later in the week or next week when I drop another Bonus Bri. But I do a bonus show every week or so that's only available to people that subscribe to the show. Additionally, we do extra stuff here every week that we only make available to the people that listen, or that pay, that subscribe. So unless you're a subscriber, you're probably not going to hear us about the dead body on a cruise ship that they kept in the fridge. Or the sperm donor that has 600 kids on his ticker. You know, on his tally. If you want to hear that stuff, you got to listen. You got to subscribe. And you could do that for $5 a month. Click the link in the show notes. $5 a year or $5 a month or $50 a year. Soon to be 55. So look, as soon as I remember to do that or figure out how to change it to 55, it's going up $5. So get on that. Get on that. Get that free month. We would like it also if you reached out to us. We love hearing from the listeners, and we have just a great crew of people. That's the magic of this show. You can call us 949-464-TBLS is the phone number, or you can send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Either way, we love it. We want to hear from you. I'm joined now, as always, by Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I've got an emphatic recommendation and two complaints.
Okay.
First of all, I saw this movie called Sisu, S-I-S-U. It's a Finnish movie, but it's all in English. And first, check out the Red Band trailer for everyone. Like, if you're curious, like, this is not artsy fartsy. This is a fucking dude in 1944 killing Nazis.
Oh yeah,
it's such a satisfying. It's an hour and a half, and it's just fucking Nazis up. The trailer like sets the tone. It's so good. Oh, check it out.
That. Yeah, I'll watch that.
And then I saw tonight is the Met Gala, and I just want to say. Is it happening every 6 weeks? What now? Is
it? Yes, it's like the Olympics. It never isn't the Met Gala.
What? It's always Met Gala.
What is it?
I did see a pretty impressive appearance by Amanda Seyfried.
I say Seyfried, but I don't know.
But I just saw. I was on Twitter. She was trending, and I clicked on it, and it was a little video of her on the red carpet. And I was like,
solid.
Ooh. Solid. But overall, it's too much Met Gala-ing. It's too much.
What is it?
It's always there.
They dress stupid. And is it just, it's just a dress up thing? You dress up and you're famous.
Some people like dress hot, like the aforementioned actress. But then a lot of people dress like they're it's like a weird costume. Like, hey, I'm the Empire State Building. I'm a dollar bill. Like, it's like weird stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think this year's, so there's themes. I know that. And I think this year's theme is like some kind of tribute to Karl Lagerfeld, who was a notorious German weirdo.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto, who should be culled from the herd. Why are we still dealing with this guy? Where's the Me Tooing?
He's a weirdo.
He's such a weirdo. Where's the Me Tooing for this guy? He's come dressed as Karl Lagerfeld's cat.
Oh, no.
So it's just, why are we indulging this? You know, like,
too much.
Look,
too much.
I love Amanda Seyfried as well. She, you know, she was fortunately victim to the iCloud hack a few years ago.
Oh, she was.
Oh, yes, she was. They all were.
I don't endorse the invasion of privacy, but I wish I had accidentally clicked on a link of her.
Yeah, I think I accidentally did once, and obviously I'm a fan of hers. But look. I would be willing to sacrifice her if we could get rid of the entire Met Gala via some kind of conflagration. All right. That's just, look, we don't need it anymore. All the Kardashians are there. So that's a win. That's a net positive for the world. Let's get rid of them all. I don't know what it is.
Agreed. And then my other complaint, I'm to blame for getting myself into the situation, but I saw that Elon Musk was going to be on Bill Maher, and there was a YouTube clip of it. Yeah. And I don't like Bill Maher.
Yeah, is there a worse combination?
I'm not a Joe Rogan guy, but when there's a certain guest,
you'll watch.
I'll listen. Yeah. And then I'm frustrated by when he had, what's his name?
Zuckerberg.
Yep. And he asked zero follow up questions when there were clearly bullshit answers the first time.
Yes.
But anyway,
yes.
I digress.
Yes.
So I click because I'm like, what? What's the draw of this Elon Musk guy?
Such a weirdo.
And it was just Bill Maher going, some people are, we're all followers and some people are doers. And you're a doer. It was like a weird, you're the best. And then he's like, explain to me your feelings on this woke brain or, you know, something weird, like woke brain syndrome.
Yes. The woke mind virus.
Yes. Yeah. And they're going on. And it's like, this is the only hill that Bill Maher dies on. It's the only fight he has now is about woke is too much. And then at least somebody on Twitter posted, hey, this is the time that Bill Maher had great comedian, Boston redhead, now bald.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. Yeah, the great and Bill he's Burr. Like, hey, I just want you to commiserate with me. I don't know. This could have been 3 years ago or it could have been last week. I don't know. Yeah. But he's like, I just want you to commiserate with me about all this woke cancel culture. And Bill Burr's like, what? I don't listen to that shit. And he's like,
yeah,
he's like, so it's 20 people and they make a news story out of it because it's an easy news story to make. And he's like, but whatever. And he's like, oh, you've been canceled. He's like, no, I'm doing fine. Like, I've never noticed anything. And he's like, no, they were mad when you did this routine. He's like, nah, I don't notice that. That's just 20 people online. Just fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you don't indulge those voices and you don't have to worry about
just,
it. You know?
It doesn't. Nothing's mad. No one's canceled. The only thing that's canceled is Bud Light with Hayseeds. That's pretty much the only thing that's canceled.
Their stock is up, by the way, which
Bud
Light should be canceled for being a bad product.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we discussed this a show or two. Yeah. It seemed like a weird crossover promotional thing.
Sure.
But that's not the typical, but who gives a shit if you're a Bud Light drinker?
Yeah.
What?
No one cares. That's just what companies do. Companies try to fucking steal the moment whenever they can. They're all shitty, you know? Right.
I wasn't planning on drinking a Bud Light, but now that I see this influencer, let me get on.
I know. Now I'm into it.
I should have known that Bill Maher is trash.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
And we always knew Bill Burr is great.
Always great.
And of course, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, it's the same. Like, if you just don't give him any attention, then he'll just go away. Like, he's just like that's just what Bill Burr's saying about the loud voices in the cancel culture world. If you just don't, if you just ignore them, then they're not there. Same with Elon Musk. Just don't listen to
him. Right.
Over the weekend, sadly, my LA Kings were driven from the playoffs, but they were going against the best
player on the planet. Yeah,
the Oil, and I think the Oil's going to go on to win it all. But luckily, my pain was soothed by a beautiful Game 7 loss by the Boston Bruins, who only lost 11 games all season. There's just something nice about Boston people being miserable.
It is nice, yeah. But also isn't it a thing that a lot of like the best record, the President's Trophy winners
always
have gotten bounced
always
like a lot early.
Always, yeah, it's pretty common. You know, it's not uncommon to see a 6, 7, or 8 seed win the Stanley Cup, Lord Stanley's Cup. You know, because you can ride a hot goaltender.
Yes,
Ed, you ride that hot goaltender. You know, you come in hot, and the oil is hot. They won their last 9 games of the season. They vanquished the Kings, and they're the 2, maybe 3.
I don't know.
I don't know. Let's find out. Let's know that because
I don't even know what seeds are because you get seeded by your division.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So you can, if you win the division, you're the higher seed than maybe the team with the better record who was second in their division. What is the playoff seeding? Edmonton Oilers playoffs. 2023 seed. Here we go. I'm gonna tell you right now, seeding. Yeah, they're the number 2. So was Colorado one? Colorado's gone.
They're gone.
The Kraken took them out.
That's right. They won their first ever playoff series.
And I can't decide if I love or really hate the Kraken uniforms because they kind of got like a teal, like powder blue thing going on, but I kind of like it. They have a very regal. S for Seattle. I think I like it.
I like the logo.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the
teal.
Of the teal. Yeah. I don't like teal.
Yeah. Yeah. I normally don't either. So that's why, you know, that's why I'm in a spot. Also, have you watched it? I have a recommendation. Have you watched the new John Mulaney special?
I saw it live. I did watch it, but it was pretty much the same thing I saw.
He is great. I'll be honest. I was not the biggest John Mulaney fan. Because he's like, to me, he's like such a great joke writer. Like he's like really, really funny, and his economy of language is good. But his presentation, his stand up, has always been like a little too jazz handsy for me. Like a little too old timey.
He's the gayest straight man.
Yes, he is
in history.
He is. But this new special, obviously, you know, he went through some shit and he was very real in the special and it was refreshing and nice to see and fucking funny. It was a really good special. And he basically is telling you that he was a huge piece of shit. And it's nice to hear somebody say that they were proud that they had a star-studded intervention and that they were bummed that nobody recognized him in rehab and shit like that, that you know people think, but they pretend not to think. It's nice when people admit who they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. It's the cool move to be like, oh, you know, I'm a humble guy. And he admitted, no. I have an ego that needs to be stroked.
Yes. Okay. And one more thing before we move on. I just saw the story just before we started and mixed in with the heavy rotation of Met Gala information that I cannot dodge. Mm. I just saw this headline. NYPD detective dies after spending 33 years in a coma. Well, that's too long.
That's too long.
That's too long.
By 32 and a half years.
Yes. I mean, very sad, obviously. I'm not in any way making light of what happened to this poor man. But why make it worse and just fucking let him be fed by tubes since 1990?
They shivoed him.
They shivoed his ass.
Shivoed him since H.W. Bush era.
Yes. Herbert Walker was in office when this dude was fucking got shot and the age just laid there 33 years. That's fucking awful. Poor guy. Rest in peace, Troy.
And you hear stories like after like somebody after a couple months, they come out of the coma. But like,
yeah.
I don't know. After 6 months, what is it? Like one person ever?
I know. It has happened in history that somebody, you know, there's a jolt goes through the, I'm trying to think of the word, where there's like a like the breaker goes out and comes back on and all of a sudden the person comes back to life.
Yeah, and but then that's they can always be Chinese or something.
Yes. Yeah, they, all of a sudden they have an Irish accent.
Weird stuff. Yeah.
I'm also seeing now on that page that I'm looking at that story that there's a new Fatal Attraction series.
Oh, with Lizzie Kaplan.
Lizzie Kaplan.
And, yeah. and Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
He's very handsome. He is
a handsome dude.
Yeah, he was in that horrible show with McNulty, The Affair. He was the guy getting affaired on by McNulty. And he was good in that show. But you look, Fatal Attraction, that's one of those ones. That movie's so good.
It is. We reviewed it like last year.
And I had never seen it. I had never seen it. Yeah. We reviewed it with Jay Stu. I imagine Jay Stu was confused by it. I can't remember. But
there's a lot of sink sex going on.
Yes, they're doing sex on sinks. What's her name's got a perm, but it's so good. It's such a good movie. I don't know how the show is gonna not be good.
I actually think I could see how it could work in a
longer form.
This woman's torturing him on a weekly basis. Yeah. You could do it, possibly.
Yeah, come on over and do some torture, Lizzie.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out because I wouldn't mind seeing the initial Lizzie scenes.
No, yeah, that's probably why she couldn't do Party Down, is because she was engaged with this project. Okay, let's talk some sports. Wrong, right.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be.
Joy on
DVD.
Ed, anybody? An update on who's alive.
Let's get a tragic update. Tragic update. Plus, Ed Daly has been keeping up on who just died. Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
This reminds me, I meant to email you this song last week. I'll do it after the show. Because is so fucking good. Our dear friend Brad in New York, who I'm told... I said, hey, I want to give you credit on the show. And he's like, just tell him it was Brad in Florida, formerly Brad in New York. So Brad is relocated to Florida, but he's still holding it down with his amazing songs. We're lucky to have him. Thanks, Brad.
Impressive work. Yeah. A good buddy of mine who I didn't think was listening to the show just texted me and just said, that new Rest in Peace song is fucking great.
So good.
Who died? We lost a couple in the sports world.
Yeah.
First, we lost a guy named Ralph Boston, U.S. track and field legend, 83 years old. He broke some of Jesse Owens' record.
Oh, wow.
He was in the 60 Olympics in Rome.
Oh, R.I.P.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, very.
And we also lost a former Pirates great, Dick Groat.
Dick Groat.
Great name, 92 years old. Yeah. And I knew about him because of Curb Your
Enthusiasm. That's the only reason I knew about him. As soon as I saw him on the rundown, I knew exactly why he was there, because Larry David had some thoughts on Dick Groat.
You heard of it. What is it called?
Groat syndrome.
And what does it do?
Well, it's a nervous system syndrome that makes people extremely excited and nervous. My niece has it, like
Dick
having Groat. Tons of coffee.
Dick Groat, named after Dick Groat, the guy who used to play shortstop for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know, because he was a bald guy, and he didn't field very well because he was very excited all the time. And is that it?
No, the doctor that initially diagnosed it was named Groat.
You sure it wasn't Dick Groat?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Dr. Grote might be Dick Grote's father, for all we know.
For all we know.
No?
No. My niece has it, and...
You might want
to... Well, you just won't let it go.
I want to check Larry, what happened with...
R.I.P. Dick Grote, Pittsburgh Pirates shortstop back
great
in the
name.
Day. Yeah, no, it's a great name. Fantastic name, Dick Grote.
A town... I didn't look up where. A town forces argumentative parents to be umpires at Little League games. Let me just check where.
Yeah, this is...
New Jersey.
Oh, you know, this is in the Philadelphia adjacent, suburban Philadelphia area.
Yeah, Philly.
Yeah. You know, many know, Ed, that I was briefly a Little League assistant coach. I think I've told a story here about how I was deked by that crafty nine-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Transfer from the Mexican League. Well, back, I recall, and this is many years ago now, but was my last experience with Little League. But I just remember that as a rule, all coaches for all teams, it didn't matter if the call went your way or not. When any parent bitched, we would just turn to the bleachers and invite them to volunteer because it is a volunteer position. It is a hard job. It is, you know, it's not, these aren't professional umpires. So they probably miss shit occasionally and it's no big fucking deal. Who cares?
Remember, maybe about 5 years ago, I was coaching in basketball and one of the parents went berserk and started yelling at the ref. And then I told him to be quiet. And then he threatened to beat me up and they had to stop the game and the police had to take him out.
That's insane.
And then last year I saw him and he had a teardrop tattoo on his cheek. And good thing I didn't take him up on that fight.
Yeah. Wouldn't you like run into him like around town or something like at school?
He's out there. He's out there.
That's, I mean, it's crazy. You know, I was watching this video the other day and it was this guy. It was like one of those like influencer guys that tells you to like make your bed and stuff. And it just came up in my feed. I don't normally watch this, but he's like a tough dude. And he's like, first thing I'm going to do if somebody squares up to fight me is run away because I don't need to fucking learn what kind of weapon this guy has. He goes, I'm just going to run away from him. And then I'm like, that's good advice. Like, I'm too old to get in situations like that. And then one day later in traffic, I'm like throwing the bird at a guy and I'm like fucking like trying to make eye contact with him. And I'm like, no, take some advice. Like, you don't need to get in any fights. You're too old for this shit. And it's weird. Some people just, they never get out of that. You know, they're just always looking for that and it's terrifying. But if your kid's playing in a game, just shut the fuck up. Like, cheer on the kids and shut the fuck up. And then when it's over, take him to get an ice cream or something. And, you know, don't make it weird for the kid.
How sad are you?
So sad.
If you really have something riding on the outcome of a kid's game.
Yeah. No, it's actually pathetic and hopeless.
Like, when I'm watching sports, like my kids in sports, I'm just specifically watching their performance. I don't even care about the result.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want them to feel like shit about themselves afterwards. And that's all that matters.
Right.
Yeah.
NBA fans crushed the ABC network after it used pre-9/11 footage of New York for the Heat Knicks halftime report.
Any shots of Building 7? Unlikely.
Oh, like, my God.
How does that happen?
As you might know, it's still a touchy subject with a lot of New Yorkers.
Yeah, and it is kind of weird. Like, even when you watch a movie, I mean, it really resonates every time you see those towers. Like, you see an old movie and you're like, oh, yeah. You know, it's like, impossible not to notice. So you'd think that whoever's producing the B-roll would also notice. Like, it's just...
It must be somebody who's 22 and they don't like remember it.
Or they farmed it out to India or Korea where they can get it cheaper. You know, that's how you end up with mistakes like that.
That's the Occam's razor right there. Yeah. That's the more likely scenario.
Probably.
ESPN has fired Major League Baseball reporter Marley Rivera for calling a fellow reporter. Do you have the clip or do you want
to? Yes.
Yeah. What? She had some choice words. So what
I mean, you can just tell us. Just tell us.
She called her a fucking cunt. She used the C word. And I don't, there was a lot of Spanish being bandied about.
Yeah, I believe she's a Spanish language reporter.
Yeah, and so I don't know who really is at fault.
Yeah.
But I will say there are certain people that really have earned that moniker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, bitch is not the same thing.
No.
Like, no. Sometimes
it's the word.
It's the C word is appropriate. Now, I don't know this Marley Rivera, so I don't know who's at fault, but some people in life earn that. And I feel like they should do a deep dive into seeing maybe this woman earned it.
And also this wasn't during her report. This is this happens every day.
This was a tattletale situation.
Yeah, they're jockeying for position to try to get their fucking quotes because that is their job. And there is a hierarchy amongst the people. You know, it's how long you've been covering the team. It's what publication you work for. So, like, if you're a radio guy, but you're not the radio guy that's got the team that's on the station that has the team's game, you're gonna wait. You get your shit last.
That's right.
You know, it's just how it works. So this chick probably was a fucking cunt, and this chick's trying to do her job. Marley Rivera, let's listen. Now, if she says, the look on the other chick's face is great. Now, if she had just said she was mostly speaking Spanish,
How about it was like so muffled and hard to understand? Yes. All of a sudden, everything quieted down, and she's like, "What a fuck!"
She turned right towards the camera. It's great. I just need to see. Oh, and this chick's like making a face to the camera. I think.
Excuse me. How you call me? Excuse me. Did you record it?
What?
I wasn't talking about you. Thank you very
much. I wasn't talking about you. Don't go back on it.
Oh, see, maybe she's at fault because you can't go back on it.
ESPN are a bunch of fucking pussies. This is Disney at work. Pussies. They're being pussies right here. Like, it's your reporter is doing their job. And
you want them to be a bulldog. Yes. You want them to be fighting for everything.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to see how the sausage gets made. I like how Aaron Judge is pretending not to notice what's going on.
Yeah, he definitely went back in the clubhouse and was like, oh, you should have heard these crazy chicks outside.
Yeah. Oh, looks, I think she tries to apologize after. Oh. Did somebody give this lady a job? Well, maybe she can go. Maybe she can.
Her husband is somebody like higher up in Major League Baseball.
Oh, really? Oh, she'll be fine.
Then. Rivera. Yeah,
Marley Rivera. Husband. Sports writer. Marley Rivera's fucking cunt. This vulgar comment wasn't her first journey. No. Oh yeah. Oh, so she's got a history.
John Blundell, the Major League Baseball Vice President of Communications.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big job. It might be.
Is Rivera married to him or the woman she called?
Oh, that would make more sense. That would make more sense. And look, you could tell she's not because Phil Mushnick writes about it. And you could tell this Marley Rivera is not well liked. Last week, ESPN fired foul mouth as hold on.
No, it's the woman who got called that. Yeah. And Rivera said she and John Blundell have had numerous disagreements over the years, which he believes contributed to the incident blowing up the way it did.
Yeah. ESPN fired foul-mouthed, ethnicity-slinging field reporter Marley Rivera.
Who wrote that? The Post? What is that?
Yeah, it's a Post.
Ethnicity?
Yeah, ethnicity-slinging. That's not even – those words don't go together. That's made up.
No, that's
For a withering verbal attack on a rival Yankee Stadium reporter, also a female that was so vulgar it immediately – came to Roger Goodell's attention for inclusion in the Super Bowl halftime show. Oh, That's so dumb.
What?
He's saying that the Super Bowl halftime show was equally as vulgar. He's like trying to make a metaphor there.
Oh boy. This is Rupert Murdoch at work here.
Yes. They're really trying to drum it up. Well, look, I'm sure she'll land on her feet, but maybe she wasn't that nice of a person. Who knows?
No. Yeah. Who knows?
She did call somebody a fucking cunt, but it's kind of funny. They're at work.
They're working. They're jockeying for position. Yeah. Yeah. An independent wrestler in Pomona, California, named Masada, attempted to blow a fireball against his opponent, Dirty Ron, in a death match. Instead, he set himself on fire and suffered significant burn injuries.
I mean, and look,
independent wrestling. Yeah. This is probably for like $40.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, there's no money in this.
This is like high school gym stuff, right?
Yeah. It all happened at XPW Wrestling's deathmatch event in Pomona, California on April 22nd.
Where's Pomona?
It's like it's in the San Gabriel Valley. It's like kind of
east of LA?
No. It's like east of LA. It's like between LA and Riverside County, basically. It's inland. It's not a place you want to go.
Not a high earner area where these wrestlers are getting paid.
It's an older area, and you know what they're known for is their drag strip. Okay, that's all you need to know. Big Daddy Ross is racing this weekend out of Pomona. You got John Force is defending his title at Pomona Raceway. Video of the match. They also have the LA County Fair out there where there's often stabbings. A no holds barred contest where weapons were allowed shows Masada grabbed a flaming torch, poured a substance in his mouth. Oh, Ed! Dirty Ron, the guy that didn't burn his face.
Did he blow it back on him?
No, but he appears to be a juggalo. Well, it could be Stolen Valor. His gimmick is having a clown face.
I don't want anyone to have disfiguring burns.
No.
But you know in this showdown who we're cheering for.
Of course, we got the juggalo, Dirty Ron. Also, great name, Dirty Ron. Like,
I do like that name.
Yes. I saw the pictures. Oh, yeah, here we go. It's probably not going to be good audio. Let me turn it down a little bit here. Oh, yeah. Oh, he sucked. Look, this happened to my buddy Brian one time when he was doing a flaming...
Did he fight Dirty Ron?
No, he didn't. He might have. So what he did was he blew out the flame, and then when he inhaled the flame, he sucked the flame back onto his face.
Yeah, but he didn't do the stop, drop, and roll.
That's you figure if there's going to be a pyrotechnic, you got to have somebody there just in case. Strategy. Yeah, with a blanket. Or possibly a fire extinguisher.
Are you implying that independent wrestling is not a well thought out process?
My buddy Brian, one time, there used to be a thing. This might be a regional shot, but there was something called a flaming Dr. Pepper, which I believe
I've heard of it.
It was like something and Dr. Pepper, and then they would pour
something really sweet to make it even sweeter than a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, and then they would pour on top of it. They would finish it with a floater of 151 rum, and then they would light it on fire. And then when you'd go to take the shot, the fire would go out. Well, my buddy Brian went to take one of these shots one time, and when he went to take the shot, he kind of missed his mouth, and it poured down the side of his face, and his whole face was on fire but just like for a second. Then we just patted it out. This is at a bar, and it went out. So, you know, it's like we were more prepared than XPW wrestling. And how many wrestlings do we need?
Yeah, there's enough. You can turn on TV, and you can... You don't need independent wrestling.
Yeah, like I've seen The Wrestler, good movie, but these independent, these barn shows are depressing. So sad.
But you're saying you've seen The Wrestler, but like the whole point of that is to show how sad it all
is. Very sad. R.I.P. Well, he didn't die. He just has
no. He's just fucked up. He said, "My face is doing okay, yeah. But the rest of me is going to be a long recovery." Yeah.
You know what? He's probably really happy because he's got one of those beards that he braids into a long braid.
Yeah.
That he's been, you could tell he's like been that growing guy that
from Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. He's been
like the big dude.
Yeah. He's been growing that for a long time, and so he's really happy that he can still have his long braided thing. All right, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits.
Few voicemails here. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, with the news that Aaron Rodgers has been traded or is going to be traded this week.
Right. Oh yeah, that's right.
I've wanted to check in real quick and find out if you guys think he will still be the only non-system quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now that he is no longer playing in Green Bay, or if now Jordan Love will now be the only non-system quarterback now that he is the starter in Green Bay. Yeah. Or will Aaron Rodgers remain a non-system quarterback in New York? I need to know. Yes. Hey, just want to encourage the listeners to check out the Stereo After Show on Friday nights on
the Stereo app.
Yep. Typically, Brian co-hosts with me. We have a pretty good time. The second hour, we're bringing in a Red Circle subscriber to co-host the second hour me. So we're having a lot of fun out there. Good times are had. I would highly recommend everybody come out. And you should come out sometime.
Yes,
do the second hour with me.
Absolutely.
It'd be a great time.
It's pretty late.
We have a lot of fun, have some cocktails, and typically we are unable to post a show because of oversharing. So, wanted to check in real quick. Hope all is well, boys, and talk to you soon. Bye.
Let me explain it. You know how Dolomite's always got beefs with people online? He's got...
Yeah, it feels like a targeted shot at somebody.
It is. I'll explain it to you. And because I don't 100% get it. So remember, and we had a peace summit here on the show between he and Telly Two Putt.
This is a Telly situation?
No, it wasn't. But I'm listing Dolomite's many, many.
Well, he bullied Ish.
Yeah, he bullied Ish. And that was confirmed this week, actually, by guitar player Chris, who said, yes, in fact, it was Dolomite who primarily bullied our number one fan Ish off
used
of
to quote us.
Yeah. He used to quote us, send us quotes that we said every week. And that was very nice. They were like analog clips that we'd get from our buddy Ish, nice guy, fan of us. So, and then remember, Dolomite had that beef with Telly that I think stemmed from, it had to do with Xbox Live Golf. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were able to, we were able to come to a meeting of the minds then with really a powerful episode of the Ball Lifestyle podcast where Telly was actually somewhat coherent, unlike the episode 468, The Last Dragon. And they were able to come back together, but then Dolomite immediately sullied that what was a precarious peace between them. Since then, he's now had a beef with our friend of the show and listener and good buddy, J1000Steps. J1000Steps and Dolomite are no longer on speaking terms. And now this one, I happen to know he had a beef with his buddy AC in the 715, who's a Green Bay fan and says that Aaron Rodgers is the only non-system quarterback in the NFL, which is sort of preposterous, but not something to like get in a fight about, right?
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah, yes.
It's a preposterous statement because every quarterback, it depends on their situation.
System. Yeah. It's a system situation. You know, it's like,
like Mahomes, I think, will be the greatest quarterback of all time. But I could see the Redskins / Commanders fucking that career up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's so great, but like, I could certainly see my shitty team fucking him up.
Oh, no. You get to the wrong. Look. How about when the every time the 49ers would have a backup quarterback fill in for either Steve Young or Joe Montana, and then they'd become a free agent, and all of a sudden
Elvis Gerback.
Yeah, Elvis Gerback or Steve Bono is the quarterback of your team, and you're like, well, we're gonna do it. We got their good guy. You know, he couldn't crack the lineup because he wasn't as good as the other guy. Yeah, it turns out it was the West Coast offense, buddy. It was throwing a Tom Rathman out of the backfield. It was Jerry Rice up the sideline. John Taylor over the middle.
What is it? Bubba Tyler? Who's the
Wendell Tyler?
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it definitely depends on the system. Now, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's dealing with some stuff. He had a nice run.
I'll tell you what he's dealing with. He's dealing with a new PR push. I'm watching the Knicks and Rangers in back-to-back nights, and he's prominently there. And they cut to him every commercial break, and it's like, Jesus.
Yeah. How about that time? Well, how about that time when he's like, I'm growing my hair out. For the craziest.
We'll find out the reason.
Yeah, and then it was so he could be John Wick for Halloween. Like, buddy,
right?
Nobody cares about your Halloween costume, you know. Like, it's just
for a year. He's prepping.
He grew that hair out. So, hey, good for him. JETS, 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 and also Ed, you should go on the stereo show with Dola. My problem is it's Friday night.
Yeah, last Friday.
Yeah,
I tuned in. I thought in my head, I go, yeah, maybe tonight I'll try to join that show, because you explained to me that, like, once I join, you could let me in or whatever it was. I was like, maybe I'll do that. And then my buddy at 5 o'clock is like, hey, we're having some rooftop beers.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that sounds great.
And then by about 6:30, I was like, oh, there's no fucking way I'm waiting around for that show.
Yeah. No, there was one time I was on it, and it was me, Dola, and Jeannie Bueller, all three of us. And, you know, Jeannie Bueller's downstairs, I'm upstairs, and we're doing the little show thing, and I get a little sleepy. And I just nodded. I was like, I was like, you know, I was like Lou Reed in his heyday on stage, just going out. You know, they lost me. It gets pretty late at night. People drink, but it's fun to do. And it's a great way to interact with the people that are hardcore with the show. Super Lee shows up, Ben 906.
Yeah, I would
Mateo,
like that. But,
great guys.
If I'm having rooftop beers at 5 o'clock, I can't make it till 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Like, or 11. No. Like, this week it started at 11. So your time.
I'm winding down. I can't be interacting at that point.
No, I totally agree. Okay. Thank you for that, Dola. We love you, buddy. Here's another one.
Hey, Bowlers. This is Brad in New York or Florida. Oh, now it's where I reside.
The legend. Coming in to be coronated and get his love from the audience.
After that song, I was thinking, well, if he's Brad in New York, if it's New York City, I'd like to go buy him a beer.
I know. Yeah.
And then I was just thinking about that, and now I hear he's left the area.
Yeah, he's down. He's up stakes, moved down to be closer to family in Florida.
Gotcha.
I am calling to let you know about a newfound passion of mine.
Uh-oh.
I recently, and I noticed you brought it up on the show the last few weeks, just here and there in spots, but I started watching WWE again.
I stopped watching,
you know, with like the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan back in the day, a little bit after that era.
Is he
fighting a pit bull?
Does he have an animal?
There's something going on in
his,
the background.
Does he have an animal in his vehicle? I don't.
Is he at an independent wrestling thing and somebody's just set themselves on fire?
Could be. Is he in a car wash? Possible. There's some type of noise in the back. Remember David Bray called in one time and we could hear his windshield wipers go, or his turn signal or something going the whole time.
Yeah, the turn signal.
Yeah.
And I really could not recommend it anymore. It is really, really, really good nowadays. Something I think if you gave it a try, like a legitimate try of watching an episode of either SmackDown or Raw or whatever, I think you would really get it.
Imagine thinking to yourself, is it 7 o'clock? I got to throw on SmackDown. SmackDown's coming on right now.
Imagine building up the type of goodwill Brad has just done.
Yeah. I know.
Like, he's already created our theme, the closing theme song.
The Manuel in Gardenia.
Yeah, he's created so many things that are like,
who's that loud comer?
Show.
Yes.
And then he adds this gem last week, and he's like, oh, everybody's singing my praises. They're giving me my flowers. Let's see if I can fuck that up.
Yeah, he's here taking his victory lap, and he's like, you guys got to watch Raw. What? I was talking to somebody tonight and they're like, hey, are you caught up on Succession? And I'm like, I'm three episodes behind. And I go, honestly, I don't know if I think I'm good. Like, I got it. I got what I needed out of that show. It's, you know, spoiler alert.
Oh, don't say that to people.
I don't know what it's happened 3 weeks ago. Like, it's like,
I'm annoyed by it. Some shows, just being a season behind. Yeah. I like just waiting. Yeah. No, and
that's
then
true. You know what? You're right. Because you know what?
Can you bleep that out?
I don't know. I'll try.
I like to wait.
You know what?
I happen to be current this time because I was in Germany and everybody's like, oh my God, what just happened? And so.
Yeah. You know what? You're shaming me and you're right. You're right to shame me for that because I don't have A&E or AMC or whatever Better Call Saul was on.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how the last season ended. And I had to fucking like duck, dive and dodge to get out of the way of all the spoilers. And I'm just waiting for them to drop that final season on Flix so I can see how Better Call Saul ended up. It was one of my favorite shows. That said, Better Call Saul is an infinitely better show than Succession. Succession, yes. I'll say it right now. It peaked at season two. The end of season two was as good as that show was going to get. Season three was boring until the very last episode, which was very good.
The last episode was very good.
So good.
I think the season has been good for me. But at the same time, the problem with this show. So like if you watch a show like The Wire.
Great show.
And there are so many different angles, but there's so many different people you cheer for, whether it's Dookie or, you know, like, or like different, you like some criminals, you like some of the cops, you like Bunk, you know, whoever it is.
Yeah.
This show, everyone's a fucking asshole, except for Cousin Greg.
But he's kind of annoying too. I'm a Tom Wamsgras guy.
That's
my guy. They give him all the funny lines.
He's comedy, but he's a douche.
Yeah. I mean, Kendall's the worst, right? We hate Kendall. And look.
That rapping.
Yeah.
So Michelle is just like watching it. And maybe that's season two.
Yeah.
And I'm walking through the room and it's the rap scene. And it's a tough watch.
It is tough. And Roman's going through something now. You know, he's in a position now where maybe he could be himself and just let the world know, hey.
Right. Yeah,
you know, I'm Aaron Rodgers over here. You know, I'm gonna be myself. Let's hear more about what Brad, formerly in New York, now in Florida,
and now thinks
about WWE. And here's the thing. So Brad in New York, he's our age or he's in his 40s. If he's telling us he used to watch Ultimate Warrior.
He's talking about Ultimate Warrior. So
that's around the time when it was okay to watch pro wrestling.
Into it, you guys, because it's really good. And now that we're a little bit older, like, it doesn't even matter if it's quote unquote fake or not. Like, some of the athleticism is just incredible. And another recommendation.
I will say this, they're very athletic bodybuilders, which is why they die at, because they hit their head on a lot of things, which is, and that's why they die at 42 pretty consistently. You know, you they're great athletes.
I am still curious about that sound. Like, is he at like the parrot jungle and there's some, there's something like cawing. Like, what's that noise?
It is weird. Yeah. And well, he is in Florida. So hear me out.
That's why I said the parrot jungle. Yeah, I don't know if he's in South Florida.
Yeah, could possibly be an anaconda in his vehicle with him. Now, I don't, it doesn't seem like that's Brad's sort of thing, but you never know. It's, you know, you move to a place and you adopt their habits very quickly. Maybe he's got a pet Komodo dragon sitting shotgun with him in the car.
Yeah.
I just finished up watching one of the best things that I've watched in a really long time, which is a Netflix sort of a docudrama or whatever you want to call it on Pablo Escobar. It's from years ago, but it's just really good, and it takes you through his entire life and everything that kind of happened with him from when he was a kid up until the day he was killed, and all the crazy things that he did. And it's way better than
is someone bound?
Is he talking to somebody chewing through their is he talking about Narcos?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Hold on.
The Narcos, if you guys saw that.
He's saying it's different than
El
Narcos.
Patron del Mal. And it's all in Spanish subtitles.
The boss of
it's,
the beach.
I think from like 2014.
The father of the beach.
But it's really good and extremely well done. It's long, but if you're into that subject of like what made this guy the cocaine kingpin of the world, and seeing all the crazy stuff he does and how horrible he was in certain ways and in a lot of ways, obviously, he was horrible. It's a really good watch. So I just wanted to tell you ballers about that.
I'm into that shit.
And,
I'm into that.
Ryan, thank you for playing my new song for the Who Died
That's
song.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
I think it turned out pretty good. And really, if you guys ever need any other songs, let me know.
We do.
And that's about it. Later, guys.
Okay. Love you, buddy.
Still love you, but I'm just going to choose to think that you just recommended the Escobar thing.
Great guy.
Okay. Rather than the wrestling.
Yeah. Come on. I mean, is he kidding? Like, it's a soap opera about tanned bodybuilders. And they and they get greased up and they hit each other with chairs.
And now Vince McMahon he's got that the
yeah, he looks like
Kiwi shoe polish.
Yeah, he looks like Snively Whiplash over there. Yeah.
The mustache.
Terrifying. Yeah, no, I can't support him in any way. And look, if I was going to find my way back to wrestling after age 11, I think I would have done it by now, but I appreciate it. Brad, we know you, you know, we love you.
And it wouldn't hurt if you to explain what that noise was.
Yes, that is something I would very much like to know as well. Here's another one.
And it's Brad again.
Oh, Brad.
One other thing.
Oh, we're doing the two messages thing again, are we?
Everybody's doing it. Yeah.
Is that if you guys actually do a Vegas meetup, you can count me in 1,000%.
Brad's a degenerate gambler, so that doesn't surprise me at all. He was, you know, I called him out last week on his baseball picks, and then he sent me screenshots of the app, and he's been killing it. So we might have to have him on to give us some picks. We could do like
I'd be up for that.
Yeah, I know. We could do like a weekly or I don't know. It's hard because the show goes out the day after, you know, it's not like a live thing.
Betting baseball.
Yeah.
Don't you mostly bet the starting pitchers?
Yeah, that's what I always thought. But he's got his own system. So I won't ask him to give away his system. But if he wants to, I mean, he could just call in with some picks if he wants. But that's up to him. Let's see what he's talking about. Vegas now, though.
As long as it's not one of my kids' birthdays or my wife's birthday or Mother's Day or something like that, I will be there 100%. We could bet on baseball, football at the casino. It'll be phenomenal. And play some table games and hang out. I would love nothing more. I think what you need to do is take a poll of your audience somehow, ask them if they'd be interested in this to send an email in or something like that and get it going. I think it would be freaking amazing.
So, Ed, there is becoming, and I've had nothing to do with this, there is becoming a groundswell of support for some type of a show meetup. And wow. Vegas has been suggested, and I don't know about that because it's like there's a little too much going on in Vegas. But just this week, dear, dear friend of the show, I mean, one of the great champions of the Baller Lifestyle podcast, if I'm being honest, our buddy Mike Churches. He's a great guy. He is down in Austin. He's got a business down there in Austin. And he's like, if you guys wanted to do a centrally located meetup, he's like, Austin is the perfect place to do it. And I would help you set something up here. So
that's mod bikes.
Yes. With his mod bikes. I actually texted him because I saw he owns Mod Bikes, which is an e-bike company based out of the best e-bikes made, by the way, based out of Austin, Texas. And I was driving through Laguna Beach with my daughter the other day, and I drove by and I saw the sidecar version of one of his mod bikes, and I'm like, holy shit, he's come from Austin, now he rules Laguna Beach. So I took a picture of one of his bikes and texted it to him, and that's when he brought up, hey, if you want to do something, do it out here, because I would love to have you. And he's done so much for us throughout the years. He's a great guy. So
great dude.
I'm open to that as well. Okay, here's another one.
Hey guys, Drew in Phoenix here.
Oh, Drew in Phoenix.
I'm usually an emailer, as you know, but I didn't feel like writing a college thesis paper this week, so I just decided to call. I'll get right into it. So I watched a documentary that recently came out on Netflix. I'm not sure if either of you have seen it. It's called American Manhunt. It's about the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I
personally renamed it, How Many Cops Does It Take to Screw in a Light Bulb?
Oh, this is a...
Most of the people interviewed were cops or FBI agents, and it was just absolutely baffling the way that they bragged about their incompetence.
So, I haven't seen this one, but
I do know the general idea. Like, I would like to check that out.
Yeah, well, didn't...
And they're Boston cops, too.
Didn't they have a handler? Like, they were known, much like every single quote-unquote terrorist that's been caught.
Oh, they're
since
known.
9/11. They're known... Two, at the very least, and more likely encouraged and enabled by federal law enforcement agencies. Like, that's how these guys get what they need to do to get to do their crimes. This reminds me, I haven't seen the Boston one. I'll probably watch it. I did watch the Waco one, and that was like a just textbook example of horrible policing. Terrible planning, just absolutely doing everything wrong. Too many agencies involved, not being aware of the landscape of the situation, the armament of the bad guys, quote unquote bad guys. I mean, just a shit show all the way around. And then many, many people died because they may or may not have burned them alive. I don't know if that what happens in the Boston one, but it sounds pretty similar.
I wanted to get some of the highlights of the final encounter. So these cops explain how they found the brothers in this small town that's super densely populated. It's like 40,000 people in this tiny town. And during a 200 versus 2 firefight, it was legitimately 200 cops against the two terrorists. One of the cops decided to just put some sort of weight on the gas of his police cruiser and launch it in the direction of the terrorists and all the surrounding houses. They finally incapacitate the older brother, and then simultaneously all 200 cops forget that there's another one. So he just gets into the car, runs his brother over with an SUV.
I remember this.
And
The one brother killed the other brother.
Yeah,
like
trying to get away.
He ran over his head.
Yeah, trying to get...
So the one brother, the one brother was like the college student. Like, he was not a trained... terrorist.
Right.
He was going along for the ride with his brother, who was like the angrier dude.
Yeah.
So like, this was a manhunt for like just a dopey college kid.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was hiding in that boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's backyard.
Parked the car like 50 yards away, but somehow they'd already lost him.
Yeah.
During this time, they fired over 200 shots at the car and missed all of them, but they did manage to hit a ton of houses, little kids' rooms. Luckily, they didn't hit any kids or any people in the houses, but Jesus Christ, come on. So after 5 days of looking for the younger brother, they call off the hunt, and of course, he's in the bloody boat that's on the side of someone's house in the area they've been looking and scanning for 5 days. And they wanted to get him alive for questioning, but since tons of cops from surrounding cities, vigilante cops came without being asked.
Yeah.
They all opened fire on the boat too.
Yeah, because cops want to use their sticks and so or their guns, and so if they see some copping to be done in a neighboring city, they're going to come with their stick and their gun because they love doing that.
That's why they signed up.
Well,
that's
right. So they were able to take him alive. I found it super interesting that so many people have probably called these cops heroes over the past 10 years, that they thought it was a good idea to share these ridiculous details.
Yeah. Oh, now I got
to
watch it.
They probably should have gone to the grave with. I'm not sure if either of you have seen it, but it was insane.
No,
I do suggest watching it because that was like 5 minutes of the documentary out of 3-hour-long episodes.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah,
for sure.
I got it. That's a good recommendation. Now the brother's still alive, right? They didn't like quickly dispatch him before he started talking to any press like they did with Timothy McVeigh, right? Like he's still kicking, you know? Like he's around.
He's still around. How about McVeigh?
Yeah.
We're like, I don't know who it was, but it was definitely brown people.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got 300 reports of brown people driving a van. Yeah. It's like, no, that guy's the whitest dude you've ever seen.
White dude. Yeah. Probably had some help, but you know, he's not around to tell us who gave him the lessons. Okay. Here's another one. Thanks for that, Drew.
Hey, ballers. What's up? Brian and Ed.
Oh, Steven Dave.
Salt Lake for work.
Dave.
Hey, flight attendants, you guys are way off.
I don't. Am I the only one that eats up this information about how the airlines work?
I like it. I loved last week where you straighten us out. Like the guy who has the hardest job is me. The gate agent.
Because I'm talking about the plight of the poor flight attendant who doesn't get paid until the plane takes off.
We were mainly just saying fuck off to the Blue Jay guy.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, they don't got it that bad. I think this might be more of that. Let's see.
They make a lot of money.
Oh.
Starting flight attendants at Delta make about, right off the street, no seniority, make about $33 an hour.
Okay.
And then once you hit 10 and a half years, you top out, whether meaning, you know, you have 10 and a half years or 30 years, you make the same. They make about $58 an hour.
Yeah.
So they make good freaking money, all right? They make really, really good money. Like I said, starting over $30 an hour just to be hired, and then they could make as much as really senior or leads, whatever. But they average $55, most of them, over $50 an hour. So, no, $16 an hour there. Hey, that new song.
Oh, yeah. Brad in Florida.
Jimmy Who's Dead is freaking fabulous.
It's great.
So, shit can that that old
name. Oh, hold on.
It's like,
hang on.
That's a great song.
Foghorn Leghorns bullshit song.
Yeah.
The other one.
It's a heartfelt song.
We got both.
It's fantastic work.
It's really good.
The new gentleman who did I wish I had the skills or the electronics to do Who Did Steroids or Not.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a great song.
Oh, you want a Who Did Steroids song?
You have to be on the flight attendants. All right, guys. Take care. See ya.
I mean, I'm in. I'm sure Brad in New York can come up with a Who Did Steroids song, but the problem with that is the answer's all of them.
How many segments are we doing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could just be all. Well, we have Loudcomer. We don't do Loudcomer every week. We don't have to do two.
We do have a prominent Loudcomer story coming up.
I can't wait. So exciting. Okay, one final email here. As far as I know.
Hey guys, Super Lee here. Super just want to say hope you guys are having a great spring. Yeah. Really appreciate the bonus, Bry, with all the commercials.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bry.
You're welcome.
I think you got it all wrong, Bry. I know some people are bitch made. I know you probably put a commercial in the middle of this voicemail even to make more money, and I'm all for that.
Of course,
because I hear those commercials, all I hear is ka-ching, ka-ching,
that's
ka-ching,
right.
Money going into your guys' pocket,
that's right.
I'm all for that. You guys do so much for us, providing entertainment, inspiration, life advice. Jeez. The least we do is listen to a commercial or press the fast forward button and skip ahead 30 seconds, whatever the people want to do. The last thing we ever do is bitch about it.
Right.
We should just be thankful.
That's right.
Speaking of which, I have been racking my brain trying to figure out how my dear friend Kyle and Scotty could think I have anything of ill will towards
them. That's right.
Love that guy.
You're both great guys.
I don't know where the misunderstanding took place. Perhaps he did not hear all the commentary or whatever. Kyle, I love you, buddy. I think you're awesome. You want to come to town, go see the Gopher Badger game? I'll bring you the game. You sit next to me. You bring some PBRs or some highlights? I'm down with you. I got the tickets, man. Yeah. The same thing I told our good friend Mark Nomad. You guys come to town? I got you guys covered.
Someone else you had beef with.
I don't like your school, Kyle, if that is your school. But that's nothing against you. And so I hope you don't take it that way.
That's a good dude.
You're awesome, dude.
Yeah.
You are awesome. You and I would definitely get along.
Of course.
Drink some beers. And I have to assume the reason you called in recently is not because of any ill will towards me, but more likely because it's planting season. You know, you got to get the fields in shape, and I get that. So love you all. Stu, you're the man. Erica, what up, girl? Doe, I'm glad you're feeling better. Stay good. Ed, love you too.
Oh,
Ryan, you're the man. Talk to you guys later.
Amazing.
Love you all. Keep it
big love fest.
Super Bye. Lee. Just a fantastic dude. So many good people in the world. Okay, couple or one email here. I'm about 40 minutes through the latest episode, so if you already talked about this, apologies. I started watching Love and Death on HBO. All I can think the whole time is how unrealistic it is for 100 pounds overweight Jesse Plemons to be railing on the absolute dime Elizabeth Olsen. I might have to stop watching the show, so it's so unbelievable. Also, it's supposedly based on a true story, and these two nerds that they are playing in real life came up with an affair contract and rules. I don't know anything about the show. I also have a hard time with that one. The life they lived, if true, in the show is pretty out there. The person Elizabeth Olsen is playing even makes lunch for them to eat before they do the dirty. I know it's rural Texas, but this is so far-fetched. I would love for you guys to break down the show. I know you would have thoughts. I know Ed passes a resemblance to a young Jesse Plemons, but he does not look like this version, but he gets to film sex scenes with Elizabeth Olsen. So there is that. Take care, fellas. That is from our dear friend, Matthew Richards. This is on Netflix. I've seen the icon.
But I think it's HBO.
Oh, it's HBO,
but I've seen like a trailer. I saw Elizabeth Olsen interviewed, and there was like a clip of it.
Yeah,
and Jesse Plemons,
he's great,
is a great actor, but he is like especially large right now in this role.
Yeah,
but I will say,
he's
married, has a child with Dunst. So like he does do pretty well for his unimpressive. Yeah. Frame.
Manny may not recall this, but I became personal friends with Jesse Plemons maybe like I think it was like around October, November. Delightful guy, likes to have a few like me, and I can attest that when I hung out with him, carrying no extra weight that I could tell. He looked trim, fit, delightful person. Yeah, very nice guy. And I'll tell you what, I don't know anything about this show, but I could tell you one thing's for sure. Jesse Plemons is great in it because he's fucking great in everything. Yeah. The guy's a fantastic fucking actor. He's never been bad in anything.
Ever seen him in Game Night?
Like comedy? Great movie.
He's amazing.
I just watched that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. As a creepy neighbor. He's fantastic. He's so good at that. He's like, just like standing there petting his cat or his dog
and staring at them.
Yes. He's so good. I mean, the guy's amazing in everything. Even that weird movie where, Benedict Cumberbatch liked to take nude, like swim nude in the mud pit with his dick out.
What was up with that movie?
It was a little weird. He was pretty creepy. He got his. I won't spoil that one. Somebody, hold on. Somebody just DM'd me, and I thought it was kind of nice. Hold on. Jim. This is from our buddy Jim. I love your podcast. No good alternative names for vagina. I agree. Creeps me out even saying it. The Astros may have cheated, but I'm pretty sure the Dodgers did too, and the Red Sox and the Yankees. Altuve didn't cheat. Oh, come on, buddy. Please,
we all know that.
Please don't hand out a disease to my hometown squad. Well, we determined last week, David Bray determined that they could just get Peyronie's. They're super talented, and no one wants to hear about where Katie Shady is going to plan where to take a crap. Gross. Later, Bry.
Wait a second. Did she talk about that?
I think we're talking about because she's a real estate agent, and she's got to be out on the road all the time. I don't think she was very graphic about it, but it seems to ring a bell. Okay. Appreciate all the love. We love hearing from you guys. Let's talk some things that are not in fact sports.
Well, it's time for Now Sports, Now Sports segment, segment, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast, Now Sports, Now Sports, Now Sports, Now Sports, Now Sports, I'm talking about the segment now, Now Sports, Now Sports, Now Sports, segment.
Oh. Ed, what is going on in the world of things that are not sports?
We lost a few.
Rest in peace.
Iconic
the ballers.
Singer slash civil rights icon or iconic
Calypso
icon.
Music.
Harry Belafonte.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Like the what is it, the Banana Boat song, yep, or what is it called? Yep. But he was huge in civil rights. Like he was like Martin Luther King's buddy, and like he was the guy that rallied all the celebrities to go to the March on Washington, yep, and all that. Sweet. Yeah, he was a big time. 96 years old. Good long life.
True icon. Lived it, walked the walk, great musician, actor, activist, really did it all. Great life.
Legend.
Yeah.
The former mayor of Cincinnati, yeah, who paid for a hooker with personal checks, that's, and right, didn't bounce. $25 check bounce.
Caught. I think that's how, oof, he got caught. Yeah, the check.
Jerry Springer dead at 79. R.I.P.
So the a couple notes on Jerry Springer. Seemed like a real good guy. Like seemed,
yeah, he seemed nice.
Also, the pancreatic got him, I believe. So that's you don't want. You know, that's the death sentence. You're not
brutal.
Somehow Aretha Franklin hung on like 6-7 years after that pancreatic diagnosis. My girlfriend told me when we discussed the death of Jerry Springer, she said she met him one time after his show in Chicago, and I'm paraphrasing, but she said his breath could knock a buzzard off a shit wagon. Mm. And I have my own issue with Jerry Springer, who I loved, but I'll tell you, he used to have this guest that I liked as a teen. Me and my friends would be sitting there stoned after school watching Jerry Springer, and he had this guest who the great Reverend Bud Green, who was a marijuana
show
activist.
513-721.
Here's one of his appearances.
3483. Okay.
Okay, I have a question for Reverend Bud and his merrymen. When you're stealing from the rich, do you use any type of weapons someone was to come between you and the stealing?
You forget about the
physically harm someone.
Questions from the audience back then. This is Bud Green.
When I go into the store, I might buy some merchandise in a shopping center.
Now, what I'm gonna buy, Bud Green, he was a reverend of the like Church of Weed, and he would come on the show and like here he's advocating.
No, I remember this dude.
Yeah, he's advocating for civil disobedience, and then at some point, he's got a weed leaf on his shirt. He's got a lighter in his hand. We know what he's about to do. He's about to produce a joint, and Jerry Springer would be like, "We've searched you. We know that, you know, you're not going to light up a joint this time." It's very much a wrestling heel move. And then what would he do?
My word to God, and no, God has said to worship the Lord.
Takes out the joint. Jerry Springer's trying to stop him from lighting the joint.
You call yourself a reverend. You ought to be shot in the back yourself.
That's right. There's high drama.
Okay. Yes.
And I would always love Bud Green's appearances. And then one time, Rolling Stone magazine, I believe it was, might have been Vanity Fair, did a long form story about the Jerry Springer show. And
was he a plant?
Yes. It was a loss of innocence. I came to learn that my hero, the great Reverend Bud Green, who would always light up a joint on the show, was actually a producer on the Jerry Springer show. Wow. And it was just amazing. There was no Reverend Bud Green. It was just this dude. And he would just come out there and do this character on the show. And I'll be honest, I never forgave Jerry for that. I never did.
Never meet nor read about your heroes.
That's right. That's right. He fucked me over on the whole Reverend Bud Green thing. But R.I.P. Jerry Springer. He had a good run. One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was in I was in Chicago, not to like name drop. I don't know any of these people. I just happened to be in the room. I was, one time I was at in the city of Chicago and I was eating dinner at Gibson's, famous steakhouse in Chicago. And there was like, there were like famous people around, like Alex Rodriguez was there. And it was like, you know, it's just like a place that people go when they're in Chicago. So it wasn't like, you know, it's not uncommon to see celebrities in a place like that. And there were people in there and all of a sudden, Steve, the security guard from the Jerry Springer show, walked in to have dinner and the fucking whole restaurant lost their shit.
Didn't he have his own show?
Yes,
eventually?
Yes. This was before he had his own show. He was still just a security guard, and everybody came up. Steve Wilkos, and everybody's like, "Hey, Steve!" Like Pat buying him drinks. Like I have never seen anybody get the star treatment like I saw the great Steve Wilkos from the Jerry Springer show receive at Gibson's in Chicago, Illinois.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah. Going to steakhouses in New York City.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would see celebrities, and my buddy had the best move. The show used to be Kudlow and Kramer. Jim Kramer has had his own show forever.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim Kramer walked in, and he was like mouthing off to somebody, and my buddy just stood up and goes, "Sit down, Kudlow," when he knew it was Jim Kramer, and he was demoralized. It's the proudest I've ever been to my friend.
Oh, that's great. I love Jim Cramer because he's always wrong. And he's
always
he's like when Mike Carey was the rules official on CBS.
No, they're
always
overturn
wrong.
This call. Yeah. Over they're gonna overturn. Nope. The play stands. RIP Christina Ashton Gorkani, Kim Kardashian lookalike and OnlyFans model. She was 34.
What got her? Suicide. Mm. It's gotta be suicide.
I assume she realized she was never going to be Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. And look, we're done with the Kardashians, right? We're done with the Kardashian look, right? Like it's.
I hope so.
Yes. Oh, here we go. I'm going to tell you right now. We're going to tell you what happened. Hold on. There's going to.
Or did she get like Kanye West mom
plastic surgery? Too much plastic surgery. Chilling detail and final Instagram post of Kim Kardashian lookalike. Imagine that being your gig. I mean, it's one thing to be the fake Klay Thompson. That guy's awesome. But Kim Kardashian lookalike, that's just sad.
Well, remember, you can't even be Big Boss Man.
Right. Yeah. You get kicked out of SoFi Stadium. An OnlyFans model who spent thousands to look like Kim Kardashian shared a positive message for her Instagram followers just days before. Oh, Ed, you're right. Just days before she died in hospital after an ill-fated cosmetic surgery procedure. Christina Ashton Gorkani died in a California hospital in the early hours of April 20th after going into cardiac arrest. Oh, wait. This is Lizzo. I'm looking at the pictures. I'm like, this chick does not look like Kim Kardashian. Oh, my God. She looks just like her.
Looks a lot like her. Because guess what? The Kardashians look fake.
Yes. I mean, she went and got, this is like that dude that wanted to look like a Ken doll.
Like right.
She went and got the face, but she went, way too big. Also, she's these selfies that she's doing. She's doing with an Android. So is she like the poor Kim Kardashian? Like no, there's no.
This is the dollar store Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. No. Somebody sent me a video. Was it Jay Stu? Somebody sent me a video of this comedian talking about how he gets discriminated more for having a for having an Android phone than he does for being black. And I was watching in my car with my daughter, and I watched the video, and I'm like, do any of your friends have Androids? And she's like, what? No, Dad, I have standards.
Proud of her.
Yes. it spans generations, which is happy to hear. R.I.P. Ashton G. You went way too big. You flew too close to the sun is the issue.
That's right.
You know, you had it going good. And, you know, it was just a little too good. R.I.P. You had a good
run. Maybe that's last surgery was like, well, I need to have more tasteful breasts. These are just out of control. Yeah, so maybe she was going for a reduction.
Yeah, they're pretty large. They're like comically, too big. Comically giant.
She's like what a fifth grade boy would draw of like the ideal girl. Yeah. Like,
yes. Huge.
This is too much.
Giant ass. Oh, she's an Eagles fan. Giant ass. Mm. Roots for the Eagles and is dead. R.I.P.
And this is quite possibly the most opposite of R.I.P. We'll give a hearty fuck off to Carolyn Bryant, who the woman who accused Emmett Till of grabbing her.
Yeah. I thought she just said he whistled at her.
It was either that or he brushed against her hand or something, but her hayseed husband and all his racist friends went and killed. Was he 12?
I think he was like 14. 14. No, he was young. Yeah. And also
and he was a boy and she got to live to 88 years old. Yeah. And I hope the end was painful for this.
Yeah. This was in the 50s that this happened. This wasn't in the 1850s. Not that it would have been okay then, but this wasn't that long ago.
Right.
That you could just fucking murder a kid. This is in Mississippi, right?
He was from Chicago, and I think he went down to Mississippi.
Yeah.
And then the people keep shooting at the Emmett Till like memorial signs still to this day.
That's great.
Because
good job. Fuck off, Carolyn.
Fuck off, Carolyn. Big news this weekend. A woman has a loud and full body orgasm as the LA Philharmonic played Tchaikovsky.
Who's that loud comer?
Now, hold on. This has been highly reported. I even saw that there's a third Fiennes brother, not Rafe or Joseph, but a third Fiennes brother.
He's like the Manning.
Yes, Magnus Fiennes, who's a composer, and I saw a tweet from him. He actually was there and witnessed the orgasm happen. On Friday, April 28th, the Los Angeles Philharmonic delivered a performance of Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony at LA's Walt Disney Concert Hall.
I was thinking maybe Nutcracker. That's the only Tchaikovsky I'd know of.
I know, but yeah. Also at Walt Disney Concert Hall at the time, it sure sounded like a woman in the audience had what has been described as a loud, full-body orgasm. Molly Grant, an attendee of the performance who was seated near the person supposedly behind the moment, told the Los Angeles Times, every kind of... This is written in India. Turned to see what it's mostly because I can't read. Everyone kind of turned to see what was happening. I saw the girl after it happened, and I assumed that she had an orgasm because she was heavily breathing and her partner was smiling and looking at her. Oh, they were doing this is like some this is like a swingers like sex act.
This is like somebody, Eiffel Tower, Mary.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, or he was diddling her. She's like, I love Tchaikovsky so much. And he's like, let me touch it. And then he got her off. Composer. Oh, yeah. Here's what I saw. Composer and music producer Magnus Fiennes was also in attendance and tweeted.
Too many Fiennes. Yeah, isn't there a third Hemsworth, too?
Fuck. I think there might be. Well, you know, what you never want to look at is that Ashton Kutcher twin. Because, like, how much would you hate Ashton Kutcher?
He's handsome and successful.
Yeah. A night in the audience had loud and full body orgasm. How come everyone keeps saying full body? What does that mean? Journalist.
Yeah, it just means she's a loud comer.
Yeah. Yeah. Journalist Jocelyn Silver also tweeted, friends who went to the LA Philharmonic last night are reporting that in the middle of the show, some lady had a screaming orgasm to the point where the whole orchestra stopped playing. Some people really know how to live. Now, is this somebody's attempt to go viral? Is this going to be on somebody's TikTok? Oh, hold on. There's audio. Let's play it. Let's hear what's going on here. Well, hold on. I mean,
that's a guttural yell. That is a guttural yell. Yeah. That doesn't sound like like a planned thing. That sounds like she was losing her shit.
But don't you like
play it again?
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear it again. Here we go. But you know how like sometimes
she qualifies as the loudest comer.
She is a very loud comer. You know how sometimes you're at a live performance and you're like, like you're feeling it, you're in it, you know? And usually it's rock and roll, but you know, like you could also do it with classical music, I guess, orchestral music. I don't know. It seems boring as fuck, but some people could come to this. I also think this could be a viral situation, that this is going to come out on TikTok.
Unfortunately, the internet has really fucked us in that. Yeah, everything that seems cool and genuine is all fake. Everything's fucking fake. Yeah. But that is a pretty good guttural yell.
Yes. Oh, no, it's good. I definitely, it's won't be long before Paul in Tucson reaches out from beyond the grave and is like, what's her at? Like, he's going to want to know who this woman is. And frankly, I am, too. I'll admit it. Like, let's go. Let's show yourself, lady. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Me talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.